Medium Talk. Hey, and welcome to another episode of Medium Talk on the Blackout Tips premium podcast section for all the people that, like, you know, fund my life. Well, appreciate y'all. Today is another great episode. I am going to talk to somebody that I think in the podcast community, especially the black podcast community, black podcasters gotta stick together, that somebody that's been missed, somebody that I think, you know, friend of the show, and we're like, what happened and all this stuff. And if you follow her on Twitter, then you see she is like Carmen Sandiego, just globe-jaunting, gallivanting around the, you know, the world. It's Miss Chartreuse, formerly of the Consumption Junction, is where a lot of y'all might know her from. You might also know her from her Crystal Period, Metaphysics, and this is the longest title, Design International, website, where, first of all, how you doing, Miss Chartreuse?
Oh, I'm wonderful. So good to be chatting with you.
You too. Second of all, what is Crystal Period, Metaphysics, and Design International?
Crystal Pyramid, Metaphysics, and Design is a collection of metaphysical jewelry and tools and hand-dipped incense. So everything that can kind of help take you to a next level in terms of either relaxation or meditation or, you know, just spiritual enhancements.
Ah, okay, okay. Now, do you create these designs yourself?
Yeah, my husband and I am a couple years newlywed, but my husband and I, everything is handmade. Copper jewelry with crystals, hand-dipped incense that we make at our own workshop. But yeah, everything is, you know, has our own handmade signature on it.
Okay, okay. Well, that's awesome. First, how'd you learn to do this?
Really from my husband.
Okay.
Truly, I mean, I'd had an interest in making jewelry before, but he's been doing it for, like, decades. So it's been really kind of cool just to learn a lot from his expertise and, you know, his knowing how to make everything.
Well, just knowing, you know, knowing from listening to your show, Consumption Junction back in the day, it does kind of seem like something you would be good at, because, you know, you always seem to kind of be on a spiritual journey, and, you know, you seem to talk more about things on, you know, metaphysical realm and all this stuff. So, it seems like something that would, you know, you'd be good at, and that, would feel less like work and more like a calling, or, you know, something natural. Is that how it feels?
Absolutely. It's more of just an extension of my essence, I guess. Like, I would like for anything that I do or put my effort into to be something that is enriching and uplifting.
Okay.
So it is a very natural progression of things, yes.
All right. Extension of your essence. I feel like, the podcast that we do is like an extension of Jet, or, an extension of Vibe, or maybe extension of The Source or something like that. So
brilliant.
So, now also, you've been, well, I guess I should start with what I'm sure everybody's wondering, like, how did Consumption Junction come to an end and all that stuff? Because, you know, I think a lot of people, that was one of their favorite shows, and now it no longer exists. Well, I guess it always exists. If you save the episodes, you can always go back and listen.
Yes, that's a good question. And I think anybody who listened to the very last episode that I was on could probably tell that it was on its last leg. At least I felt so when we were recording it, just because it seemed that Bokeen and I were coming at things from very different perspectives, I guess. And I know that that was always our thing, like the ratchet and the reason. And, you know, he was a funny man and I was like the thinking woman or whatever. But I don't know, I guess it just kind of reached a point where I was becoming very, very different than I had been in the beginning. So shortly after the recording of that, I did end up wrapping up the relationship with Bokeen, and I know it kind of felt like it was out of nowhere, but it was one of those things where you kind of know in your subconscious that it's coming, but you kind of drag it out for a little bit longer than you should.
First of all, I see that all the time. Because I think this is my theory, right? Follow me. I feel like when women are done, they know long before they do anything. So it's like women are so much better than men at moving on, because they have like an exit strategy and like they're already onto some new shit. Like it's just like you are the, like it feels sudden, but it's because you've been in, you know, as a dude, you've been in denial for like a year or two, like, oh no, it'll figure itself out, you know, it'll work out like a sitcom or some shit, and it won't matter at the end of 30 minutes, but that's not how life works. So I feel like a lot of times it seems sudden to everybody on the outside, but on the inside it's like, oh no, this has been happening for years, and it's finally time for me to move, you know.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things about the consumption junction that was great, and one of the things that always, you know, worried me when I listened, is that you guys did always seem to come at things from the opposite angles, you know? And I feel like that's not just a mic thing. That's like a life thing. You know, it's not like you turn on a mic and it's like, I'm going to pretend to be somebody else. So, you know, I was like, you know, that probably that would cause a lot of waves in regular life dealing with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was very true. You know, so I think even the podcast itself was a good demonstration, like a microcosm of the macrocosm of our relationship itself.
Well, y'all, I'll tell you this thing too. You guys were my first ever online breakup that I went through. So that you guys broke my online breakup virginity. There's been a few since, but you know, you never forget your first. So I actually felt like I went through that with you guys through Twitter and all these other social media, and even at the time Brokeen even hit me up, like, you know, on Gmail and stuff like that, and like, I need to talk to you and stuff, and I was like, oh man, I don't know what to say, what am I supposed to do? So
Right.
But, you know, y'all are young, and so I think, you know, with time, everything heals. And it sounds like, because, you know, I have this theory that all, like, society puts negative connotations on words like breakup, divorce, all this stuff. But I've always thought that is always a positive thing, because no matter how it ends, something coming to an end allows, like, a new beginning, you to fill a space that maybe wasn't positive with something positive, with something happy. And it sounds like, you know, a couple years later, Miss Chartreuse is Mrs. something, and living happily married for 2 years now.
Yes, and I even use the term wrap up kind of to describe that, because, you know, it wasn't even like a personal issue or anything that I had with him. I think it was just that I myself was changing and evolving so rapidly that I wasn't kind of aligned with what our relationship stood for in the beginning. So there was that, you know, I was growing and changing a lot, and, you know, I told him that it really wasn't him, it was really me. And I know that's kind of like a interesting cop-out that some people kind of might say, but, you know, like, it wasn't even that he had done anything wrong. It was just that I was very different. So I was just very honest and truthful. And, you know, even in wrapping that up, I did tell him how I was becoming very close to my business partner, Dredd, who is now my husband. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything really did happen very fast. But in truth, you know, when you know on a spiritual level, you know, the kind of person that you are compatible with, you know, everything just kind of fell into place really, really fast according to like human standards, but it was just a natural next thing, and everything has just kind of played out very nicely ever since then.
Well, you know, it's like they say, the cliches are cliches because they're true. So, you know, if it's not you, it's me, as many people, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't think it's a cop out. I think when it's true, it's true. Now, it's a cop out if it's like, you know, actually it is you, motherfucker. You've been, you know, you've been a problem since day one, and now, you know, but if it's really like I changed and you didn't, you know, that is part of the relationship thing, which is you know, which is why relationships are kind of weird anyway, because, you know, we make these pledges and these promises, but like a lot of it hindered, like it is pivoted on the fact that we're gonna find a way to grow together. And it's, you know, I think it's more difficult to do than people admit.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, enough about the past. Let's talk about your new boo. What's Mr. Dredd like?
Dredd is the original bad man. He is stone free to the fullest and is very much, I would say, like just a man version of me. You know, very independent, loves to travel, very spontaneous, isn't really too attached to, you know, a specific thing or a location or anything, and can just kind of be cool and find a home and find family anywhere that we go in the world.
Oh, man. Now, what is, like, how does that play into your relationship? Because, you know, you both kind of pride yourselves on not having too much attachment, but also, you know, living in the moment and all that stuff. And I think the way that relationship doctrine is handed down in the United States is all about permanence. Like, you do this and you do that and this has to happen and this person means this to you forever and ever and all this stuff. So, like, how does that play into your relationship, you know, both of your guys like philosophies?
I think it enhances everything, because we approach things from a similar standpoint, and I think it's just nice to be with somebody who can reflect that. I would say he is a good reflection of me and just that freedom and spontaneity.
Okay, all right. Well, now also, you kind of hit a couple spots on the globe, since you've, you know, since you left, Chicago. Like, where all have you been?
Well, the first stop we made was to take a trip to Trinidad in February of 2012. Judd is originally from Trinidad, but it's kind of like me, like I'm from Zambia, but I've just been in the States forever. So, going back to Trinidad was like, you know, kind of a blast from the past for him. He hadn't been there maybe like 10 years or so. So, he went, I followed him shortly thereafter, and we stayed for a month. I got to, you know, see the culture and everything, and that's when we really kind of planted the seeds to expand our business to international status and, you know, create a new version of our lives down there.
So were you liming? Because that is the word that I learned about Trinidad when I lived with Trinidadians for a year. So how'd you like the culture of Trinidad, you know?
Oh, it's the most beautiful thing in the world, and I describe it best as freedom. It is a free place where you don't feel like you're looking over your shoulder or being chased or like you're taking a risk by stepping out of your house. And most importantly to me, I love that it is an all black and brown nation.
Yeah, they are a
big difference.
They are a beautiful people.
Yeah.
Like, just like, because that was the thing. My roommates from Trinidad, they were all what I would describe as brown people. And none of them really looked alike, but they were all from Trinidad. So I was like, what is the culture like there? Like, you look Filipino, you look Indian, you know? And it's like, oh no, this is our culture.
Yeah, it's a big melting pot of a mix of mostly like African and Indian descended people, but it's such a melting pot that, you know, a lot of people are very mixed down there, but it's all gorgeous, melanated, free people.
Now, did y'all go anywhere else after that, or?
Not particularly. I mean, we've done a few things like in, you know, Denver, Colorado for a little bit, and Detroit, Michigan and such, but like Trinidad has kind of been the big main focus for now.
Okay.
We take all the other islands over.
Okay. All right. Now, of course, you know, selling jewelry in Detroit, you gotta be careful, because, you know, they still got some thugs up there, man. It's like RoboCop up there. It's real.
Oh, God. Every time I was in Detroit, I just love it. I love it. But I mean, I love being around beautiful black people too, so, you know, I might be a little biased.
Yeah, yeah. I was around beautiful black people too, and I was also around non-mal, which is scary black people. So I had some good, I felt like I had the whole city covered. What other things have you been getting into, like, spiritually? You know, because that was one of the things that I miss hearing about when, you know, once the show was defunct. Is, you know, what is Miss Chartreuse into now? Cause I think, there were times where I would listen to you and I'd be like, oh my God, that sounds like the greatest thing ever. And then there's times I listen to you and I'm like, is she for real? Is she just messing with us? Like, cause, you know, some of the things you say and you believe are just like, so off the beaten path, I think, for American ideals, or at least what we're told, to believe. So, you know, where are you at in your spiritual journey now? What are you focusing on?
I am focusing on truly embodying my essence as an infinite being and, you know, getting closer to that, you know, ultimate freedom and that connection with source or the universe. And I don't particularly like to use the term God because it's really weighted. But, you know, the Crystal Pyramid, beyond the, you know, the jewelry and the incense and the commerce, we also have a pyramid room, which is like a just a nice sacred meditation chamber space with a copper pyramid and different devices such as crystal bowls for like sound healing and multiple wave oscillators, which vibrate the different cells in your body to their highest frequency, and just kind of using like natural things, like even like really strong magnets and just different things just to kind of open up and kind of clear any sort of energetic hang up too, because I think a lot of our issues stem from like spiritual metaphysical places before they even manifest in the physical. So you know, I'm just working on keeping myself balanced and trying to help anybody else who might come to me that would like that kind of assistance.
Oh, well, that, first of all, those are a lot of words that, I didn't all understand all of them, but I felt like I got the general vibe. Now, what sources, like, where do you get your inspiration? Like, do you rely or lean on any, like yoga or any like practices that, you know, you feel, help? I heard you say, you know, the crystals earlier. You know, are there other things that you found, you know, kind of on your journey that assist you with, you know, with this?
There are so many different tools and things out there. And like, even crystals, when I tell people about crystals, I will always say that it is more of a solid manifestation of something that is already within yourself. So if, you know, you're trying to find balance and protection or whatever, you're kind of really drawing it out of yourself, because we have all of these good qualities within us, but sometimes just like the outside world interferes with that. So I'm not into, you know, necessarily using talismans as magic wands to fix everything, but sometimes a tool will kind of help to bring that out. And I don't know. I mean, I've read so many books, and there are so many different teachers and so many philosophies, but I don't subscribe to any one, you know, and say, like, this is my guru and this is my one person that I'm following. And I think my best guide has just kind of been my highest self through getting still, meditating, listening to my own deeper consciousness without all the outside distractions. So there's so many tools and resources and great teachers, you know, like I like Malachi York, and, you know, I like Osho, the Indian guru, and I like Muji, and, you know, I like a lot of teachers, but I, you know, ultimately I know that my knowledge kind of comes from within.
Ah, so you kind of pick off the buffet of spirituality, where it's like, I'll take a little bit of this, that from here, but you can keep all that, and I'll take a little bit of this, that works for me. And, okay.
And it's like, everybody's kind of saying the same thing, you know, like trust yourself, know yourself, find balance in yourself. You know, everybody's kind of really saying the same thing, but it just comes out in different ways and different cultures, different expressions. But, you know, the ultimate thing is just like that oneness and that common thread that lies with between all of us, and, you know, just getting us closer to our infinite selves.
See, that's the thing. I feel like I need to get into the spiritual market as being some type of guru, because they're leaving a big hole in the market, because nobody really promotes not finding peace, you know, having a lot of anger, causing a lot of discourse, you know, throughout, you know, throughout humanity, and trying to start trouble. Like, everybody's kind of like, let's get happy, let's get peaceful. We need a little, you know, someone should be out here writing these books and making this money off of just making people mad.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to do it. So every piece of the puzzle, you know, needs to come together for existence to be there. So, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at you if you didn't hit the other side.
I'd use all the same stuff. I mean, like, I take crystals, but we throw them at people, you know,
okay.
Like, find somebody you don't like today. Take this crystal and, well, you know, and I'd probably sell the crystals, and I'd be like, now once you buy the crystal, we'll go outside. We're going to start throwing them at people we don't like. So if you see Geraldo Rivera or something, just fucking beat him upside the head with a crystal. It'll help you feel better today. A little bit at a time.
Okay. All right.
How much do you keep up with, like the news and stuff like that, and current events and whatnot? Do you still, cause like I always thought when you guys would do the show, it would be like, you know, Bokeem would kind of bring the current events and topics, and you would kind of give us your off the cuff, like, yeah, I'm not keeping up with that shit. So, this is what I think about it in a quick, you know, second, but, this thing doesn't really matter that much. So now that you don't even really have a lot of influence to keep up, you know, there's no show or anything to do it for, do you keep up with current events and all that stuff?
The best way I do is just through Twitter and Facebook itself. Like, all y'all keep me in the loop of things that I don't even really want to be in the loop of, you know, cause I don't watch TV, and, you know, every time I try to, you know, turn on CNN live stream online, I just get, you know, fed up after a while. Mm. So I don't really keep up too much, but Twitter, you know, helps kind of keep me in the loop, at least,
so,
while I'm here.
So did you, was your experience with the, or I'm assuming you've heard about, like, the Trayvon Martin stuff. It's kind of hard to avoid. Yeah. Is your experience mostly through following Twitter and seeing, like, what other people are saying about it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's like a total kind of culture shock too, because I've spent most of the year, you know, living in Trinidad, and I'm going to be headed forward to Trinidad in a couple months again. So I will be disconnected once again, but Twitter is kind of like that constant thing that can at least kind of keep me in the loop of what's happening in America.
Okay. Now, what did you think about it from, you know, the having your experience probably filtered mostly through, you know, like either black people or very spiritual people, or because, you know, on Twitter you get to pick your experience of, like, these are my news tellers in a way, you know, so, like, what'd you think about, you know, the whole case, or maybe not the details of it, but, like, maybe the emotional investment that so many people had in it?
I can absolutely understand, and I really empathize, and I think it's bullshit, you know. And I'm not particularly surprised at the verdict, but for me, my latest realization is that a lot of what happens in the United States is just like gaslighting. That's been my big new term, just because I've been gone for so long, but I come back here and I'm just like, you know, the media, culture, society is really just fucking with black people. It's like doing whatever it can to, you know, take our emotions and run them through the ringer and really, you know, upset us and show people that, you know, your lives don't matter, you ain't shit, you know, and over and over and over these things kind of keep happening, and there's only so much that, you know, one can take before you can be like, okay, well, what is really going on here? Like, what am I really subscribing to, you know? And I see it, and I know, I feel like it's a really deliberate attack on black American psyches here, and it sucks.
Hey, you know what's funny about that is we just started a new segment on our show called Fucking with Black People. And there is enough material for multiple articles a day, by the way. But we just pretty much bring up, like, something that someone said that is clearly to fuck with black people. And I assign point systems to, like, the articles and the clips on the news and stuff where I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is worth like 75 points or this is worth 25 points. We have like, it has its own like music and everything for this segment. It's like game show music. Because it feels like a game that everyone's playing and that you get points for, where it's like, you know, CNN just jumped 75 points today because they did, the N-word versus the cracker N-word show. Yeah, that's 75 points. Good job, CNN.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I absolutely agree. And I see that because I'm so disconnected also from the media that when I come here, I'm just like, this cannot be real. You know, this has to be some kind of big, sick joke.
It really seems like, that would be the, you know, it feels like if everybody took like 30 days off of everything, like the internet, media, whatever, and then kind of came back to it. Mm-hmm. I think people would see how contrived and bullshit it kind of is.
Yeah.
That, you know, these things like come into people's lives and it's almost like tidal waves of just bullshit just thrown at you constantly. And it whittles your resolve till you're kind of involved and invested in these things that honestly won't ever individually affect you. But it has, you know, it has a lot of people emotionally caught up in it.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's just another kind of form of this mental slavery as well. So.
Yeah. I listen to, Kanye. Do you listen to any, like, you listen to any music now? Like, what do you, you know, what do you listen to? Is it mostly just stuff for like meditation and stuff, or like how, you know, what's your music like right now?
Well, I do listen to just a lot of like dancehall and soca. I haven't, heard Kanye West or Jay-Z's records or anything really is like too big or popular. I want to, I will. I'll probably pull them up on Spotify and give those a spin. But yeah, lately I've just been kind of on the dancehall and soca music stews. So.
Oh, nothing wrong with that, man. When I was, like I said, when I lived with those Trinidadians for, a year or whatnot, and a couple of them, a couple more years, but, yeah, they definitely throw on some soca, every Saturday or Sunday morning to clean up. And, they would throw that shit on at like 6 a.m. So I have a natural disdain for soca, even though I don't dislike the music. I associate it with getting my ass up at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, in college. I totally understand. And they do that in Trinidad too. Man, I mean, every morning, ghetto blasters blasting down the street. Yes.
Like, you kind of have to love that, there's a people out there that wake up on 10. You know what I mean? Just wake up.
Yeah.
Cause soca is on 10, man. That is like, ain't no laid back soca grooves out there. It's time to party.
Like 1,000 beats per minute or whatever. Real high.
Oh man. My one, sweet mate, Jason, he was, the main purveyor of this, soca tactic or whatever. And I would wake up on Sunday, open my door, walk into the hallway, and stare into his room with just daggers of death from my eyes. And without fail, every single fucking time, he would turn around with the biggest smile on his face and wave at me like he was waving at someone across a football field, like, hey! I was like, man, I fucking hate you. And I just like...
No, that's too much. I can agree with that.
Oh, man. Well, I kind of miss him now. But that is definitely... that was definitely his thing. Well, the thing I was going to say is listening to Kanye West's album, it's full of like this undirected, angry, like, blackness. And I kind of dig that on the album, man. Like, when it first came out, I was like, I don't know if I'm fucking with this album or not, but, it kind of makes me think about how, you know, all the effects that the media and just gets from fucking with black people. And it seems like a response to that. Like, stop fucking with black people.
So,
what about, cause, you used to talk about it every once in a while on your show. Like sometimes, you know, you're like, oh, I'll go talk to my parents and my family, and we have like, you know, sometimes you have friction, sometimes it's a little bit better. How's everything now with your family? And like, what do they think about, you know, the globe-trotting Mrs. Chartreuse now?
It's kind of the same thing it always has been, but the divide is a little bit more intense because I've come into myself so strongly. Mm. So You know, I don't know that my mother will ever actually accept the fact that, you know, I'm married to somebody so much older than me and that we're building a house in the Caribbean. You know, I'm having a baby with him now and, you know, everything is, you know, but I've reached a point in my own life too where I, like, my priority list, especially now that I'm pregnant, mm-hmm. is very small. It's like me and my husband and this child that's coming. So, you know, my mother still kind of gives me a little bit of grief for certain things, but I know who I am, I know what I'm doing, and, you know, I'm taking care of myself and I'm living a very exciting life, so it doesn't have that much of a bearing on me anymore because I've kind of gotten past the point of, you know, the guilt trips and all that other stuff working on me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the baby.
Thank you.
That's awesome news. Second of all, do you think like when the baby comes, they'll kind of relax a bit? Because I feel like the weakness for all like angry parents or, you know, judgmental parents is grandbabies. Cause it seems to just wear down whatever problems they have where it's like, you know, I really do not, oh my God, that is a beautiful little baby that is partly representative of me. And, now I love everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I'm not particularly holding my breath for anything, mm-hmm. but, you know, like she's, you know, kind of been, since I've been in the States for the last month or so, she's been, you know, kind of, we've been emailing back and forth a little bit here and there. So, like, in small doses, it's okay. And I think maybe once this child comes and she sees how, like, for really real my life is and I'm not just being, like, a wayward 17-year-old runaway, mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe she'll kind of, you know, let go of some of the contention that she has. But I don't know. We'll see come November, I guess.
Well, it's hard to hate a baby, man. It really is.
Yeah,
you know? I don't even like white people that much, but I followed some of that royal baby shit because it was a baby. Who hates babies, man?
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see.
Plus, it's like the one time before white people have done anything bad is when they're a baby. It's like, can't blame them then. Give them a couple of years. How's the pregnancy been?
It has been amazing, and I feel really blessed just because I haven't had any morning sickness. I haven't had any issues, like physically wise. Like everything's been going really smooth. And like I'm in my, you know, second trimester now, and I feel really amazing. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. The only thing, that was kind of an issue at the beginning was just like emotional, you know, turmoil. Like I felt like I was going to go on a murdering rampage at one point. But beyond that, you know, everything is really cool.
So is that mostly a hormone thing, or were you just, people were doing shit that deserved to die in your life?
I think it was mostly a hormone thing that caused me to react in such a way, you know, but like pregnant women are magnets for unsolicited advice. So that's,
oh my God, yes.
But I am just kind of handling it in a different way. But it's a lot of bullshit, though. Just the things that people think that it's okay just to tell you because you're pregnant.
It feels like every major event in people's lives draws unsolicited advice. Where it's like, yeah, I just got engaged. Well, let me tell you something about marriage. And it's like, what? No, this is my time to be happy. I don't want to hear about your shitty marriage and what fucked that up. I like, be happy for me.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you're having a baby. Let me tell you something about these babies. First thing you need to do, breastfeed them for 17 years. Like, I don't know if you should just be giving advice like that, you know?
No, like if I ask you for it, that's cool. But like, if I'm walking down the street, I don't need you to like examine my midsection, tell me that I'm having a girl for sure, and then, you know, tell me to eat okra, stay away from ginger, and don't drink coconut water out of the coconut itself because the baby's head will be the size of a coconut. Like, nah. No. Back the fuck off. you know?
Yeah. Like, and how can they tell what the sex of your baby anyway? Because they don't even know what position you had sex in, and that's the only way to determine how a baby comes into the world anyway. So
exactly, it's none of their damn business. They don't know. They will never know.
Silly fools. do you guys have like names picked out, or is it something that's gonna wait for inspiration on the spot? Like, how what's going on with that?
No names picked out, but I know it'll definitely be something, you know, unique and different.
Mm.
You know, that's all I can really say about that. But once I find out if it's a girl or a boy, I think then maybe we'll have more of inspiration to, like, really start thinking about names. But I'm just halfway through, so we'll see.
Well, I'm glad that you're embracing your blackness there, because we don't really know what we're going to name these babies. You know, I think a lot of times we kid ourselves and we think we know. It's like, oh, I'm going to name him Jason or something good for a resume. But when it comes out, it's going to be Ladarius or LaQuantavia. Like, it's going to be something that you weren't even thinking about. I think we just, like, black out when we fill out the birth certificate, and then we find out the name later when we're leaving the hospital. Like, well, you and LaQuantavius, y'all have a good one. You're like, what? I didn't name... I said Jason, right? And I was like, no, your melanin took over. So I'm glad.
Exactly. And yeah, I probably won't even know what the name is until the baby is actually, like, in my arms, physically present, you know? So I'm not going to get too attached to anything, because who knows how it could go?
Yeah.
You know?
And you should get to inspect it first, you know? Like, it's like a puppy. You don't name the puppy without seeing it, you know? You got to... Yeah, you know, I see it first, and you look like a Daryl or whatever. Like, yeah. I don't know what you're gonna look like. Like, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, do you still love Oprah? Because that was a big thing for you back in the day. Was you know, your unbridled affection for the queen of everything? Do you still have, you know, your love for Oprah present?
I think it's kind of weird. Bit just because I haven't had cable TV for a long time, so you know, if I had the own network, I probably still would have that obsession, I think. And that's like the only channel that I actually genuinely miss having on TV, so you know, but just like a circumstantially, I don't, it's kind of died down, but I still respect her.
Yeah, I think I could get by with like own and Oxygen. Well, I like Oxygen too, but I think I'm really addicted to Snapped. You know, like, I'm fascinated by how women's minds work. Like, that was what actually gave me the theory of the, when women are ready to move on, they're ready to move on well in advance of when you think they're ready to move on. Because if you could see how elaborate some of these plans are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking years out. You know, it's like, I mean, it's like, why don't you fill out this insurance form? And that's like the day after you get married, and she don't kill you for like 20 years. So,
right.
You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, never underestimate, you know, we are very, very deep creatures.
So, like, as far as, like, how people, you know, receive everything with, you know, all these changes in your life and, you know, moving on, getting married and all this stuff, like, do you keep up with, like, your old relationships, your old friends and stuff like that? You know, are you still talking to those girls you used to sing in the mirror with? and do group R&B performances? Like, what's going on with all those people?
No, I don't hang out with white people anymore.
Oh,
I think
okay.
That was another big thing. Like, wrapping up my relationship with Bokeen also kind of inherently wrapped up the relationships with a lot of my white friends. So, you know, I just have become a lot more, I guess I would say maybe Pan-Africanism in my friendships and relationships. Like, I really only kind of do business with black people. I hang out with mostly black people. I live in Trinidad around black people. So that's like my priority now. And I think before, you know, even the reason why Bokeen and I got together was because, you know, I was very, I guess I would even say like Eurocentric in my ways of operating, in my friends and what I did. And, you know, with coming into my own blackness and that expression, that kind of, you know, a lot of those friendships could not exist with me, you know, not being a part of that sort of white world. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, I have my white friends, but I kind of have them in like a group, you know, like I like to, it's like when you have ice cream in the refrigerator, you know, I like to go in there, access my ice cream, you know, take a little bit, put it back in, you know, sit there, might sit there for a week, might sit there for a month. I like ice cream, you know, I will come back and get some ice cream every once in a while, but it's just, you know, I have to pick and choose my time, you know, it's a lot of interaction. I remember We have like an email chain that goes on with, and it's mostly my white friends and it just me. I think there's one Asian dude on there too. And, you know, they'll say shit, you know, cause white people are really bold cause they're used to like hundreds and thousands of years of entitlement and shit. So it's like they just kind of spout off at the mouth without thinking a lot of times. That, you know, I have an adversarial relationship with some of them because I'm the kind of black person that's like, okay, yeah, what you just said is bullshit and I'll make fun of it. But I don't really engage them as far as like trying to educate them and shit. Like a lot of black people feel like you need to educate these white folks. I'm like, nah, fuck that. Nah. What about me? Like, how about I just laugh at y'all? But, like with the Trayvon Martin thing came up, on this thread one day, and I had to be like, no, we are not going to talk about that, and we're definitely not talking about it around me, because you know that you're not going to poison me with this bullshit. So it's like putting the ice cream back in the fridge.
Knowing when to go for that ice cream.
And you just decided like, I'm off ice cream, I can't take you know, I can't take the carbs, man. I'm not fucking with ice cream no more.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's people that, you know, I keep in touch with online and stuff, but in terms of even, like, one-on-one hanging out and all that, I personally don't have time for that shit.
Well, you always sounded extremely Afrocentric in a way, and, you know, about, you know, you seem to just grasp things about race, I think, that, you know, that, like, to live in that world must have been some sort of, had some sort of friction on you just because, you know.
Yeah. And it's like you have to kind of have that sort of double consciousness and, you know, act a certain way. And then, you know, you have the white people forgetting that you're black. And then they say the things that they really would only say when there's only white people in the room. You know, it's just my own, for my own peace of mind and my own, you know, liberation for my own people, which is my focus. I have just decided to, you know, keep it in the family.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. White people friction don't count as friction to them. So it's hard to discuss shit because you're like, well, nah, this is fucked up and this is why. And then it's like, well, I mean, that's the way things are. You're like, motherfucker, are you listening? I'm telling you, this ain't good for me. Like, so.
Right.
So like another thing too, I think everybody should follow you on Twitter, because I find your tweets to be fascinating. I read them all the time. A lot of times I just read them like I would read like a passage from an article or something, because you seem to go on these riffs and whatnot. I find that you dispense a lot of advice, or at least self-analysis, through your Twitter. And last night you were kind of talking about people and their ability to deal with other folks. I was reading it and it made me think about like how a lot of people give me a lot of props for being like, Rod, you are able to do these interviews and talk to so many different kind of people and all this stuff. But it made me think, like, it's not that I can talk that well. It's that I listen to people and I want to talk about whatever they want to talk about. So, you know, so I go and find out, like, well, what is Ms. Chartreuse into now? Let's talk about this jury. Let's talk about going to Trinidad. I don't just go, you know, I got three things I want to talk about. You know, I know you ain't heard it, but you going to listen to me about this Kanye CD and we're going to talk about it for an hour, you know? So what gave you the inspiration last night to kind of get in on that groove about, actually being able to communicate and adjust to people?
Well, I think that my communication skills have gotten better over the last couple of years, just from, you know, being able to listen to people and being able to understand people. And, you know, when I was kind of like fresh in my spiritual journey, I noticed like I would have a tendency to get kind of judgmental about things, like, oh, well, I stopped eating meat, so everybody who eats meat is this and that, and oh, how could you do this? But, you know, I've come to a place of realization that everybody is on their own journeys, on their own paths, and people don't want to be judged. It just turns them off. I think people just want to be understood, and I don't need to have everybody in the world think like me or operate like me. I want to be able to have people feel comfortable to, you know, talk with me about anything without feeling like they're going to be condemned for that. So it is very important to me to try to understand, just like the basic psyche of human behavior, why people act the way they do, like the underlying motives. And, you know, like listening is such an underrated skill. You know, people like to talk a lot, but I think listening is, you know, probably the most, one of the most important things that we can do if we want to have effective relationships with people. So, and also, just because I was, you know, thinking about how irritated that I get when people try to give me unsolicited advice, especially with my pregnancy, but that I just have a way of kind of deflecting that without making them feel like a dumbass. You know, I don't want to, like, alienate people and be, like, the flying off the handle bitch, but, you know, I have to have a way of relating to people so I can understand why they're even stepping to me as such in the first place.
Yeah, like I always think, like, if people knew how much of my response to people is translated from completely 100% sarcastic angry asshole to just rot, they, like, they would understand. Like, if they could see that first response that's like, motherfucker, I don't want to know about, and then that second response which comes out is like, okay, that's you know, that's some good advice, and I appreciate you giving it to me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like the struggle between those two is epic and undocumented. It needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that you are an exceptional communicator for that, and I think that's also why your show is so successful, and people really like that, just because you put a lot more into it. And you know, again, it's like your essence, you know, whatever your essence happens to be, but it's very, it's powerful, and it, I think it's more effective the way that you approach what you do.
Well, I think I have to give credit to my grandma. Like, she growing up, I would do stuff like comb her hair and then listen to her talk shit about my family. And that experience stuck with me, man. Like, it's just, like, it's, you know, you just kind of get used to, you know, talking to people and, not judging them, because it's still my grandma at the end of the day, and I've had to fight people over my grandma if I have to. So, you know, you got to listen to her say some shit like, your mama don't do this. And I'm like, okay, grandma, you know, so
picking your battles too. You know?
Right. So about listening, you know, and learning how to respond, because, you know, you can also get whoopings from your grandma, and, you know, you can't, you gotta have certain responses. So,
right.
But, that's cool, man. Like, and also, like, do people, like, touch your stomach now without asking? Cause I feel like that's a big thing for pregnant ladies.
Yes, they do. I even had one woman, like, lay her hands on me and be like, start praying and showering blessings. And I'm like, I don't know your aura. I don't know who you're praying to. Stop touching my belly. You know, one woman tried to, like, lift up my shirt to see my belly button that's sticking out. Like, ah, just don't touch my hair. Don't touch my body. But don't, I don't know. It's just weird. I don't like people's energy, you know, that close to, you know, me and my unborn child. And I don't know why people think that that's okay to do.
Yeah, it feels like the touching black women's hair of, you know, pregnancy. Like, why would you do that? It seems like, one, kind of, why do you want to do it? But then two, okay, say you do want to do it, wouldn't you kind of, like, run it by, you know, run that up the request line, you know?
Right. It's like, makes me want to touch their guts back in the same place. Like, okay, you feel like it's okay to touch my stomach, but what if I started rubbing your beer belly? How do you like that?
Like, as a fat person, I would, like, first of all, I think there's one thing about fat people don't understand is, like, as a fat person, I don't like to be touched. But I think a lot of people feel like, oh, fat people love contact. They're so happy and jolly and they just can't wait to share or whatever. And I'm the complete opposite. I don't even like when, like, when I used to have a regular job or whatever, if someone would come over to my desk and, like, put a hand on my shoulder, I would look at that hand like, what are you doing?
Yes.
We are not friends.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I can imagine the disdain, because no one, that's the thing though, no one comes up and, like, touches my belly, but you know, I can imagine, like, if people just start, like, rubbing their hands on my belly or putting their head on my, like, belly, but I would, like, want to hurt someone. I don't know how people get away with that.
Yes, and I understand where it comes from and the excitement and all that, but it's still somebody's, like, personal space.
Yeah. Like, it actually weirds me out when, as trusting and cool as it is, but when pregnant women are like, you know, they're having a good time, you're talking to them, and you're having, you know, everything's cool, and then they go, you can touch my belly if you want to. And I'm like, I'm okay. I don't want to, you know, I feel like, I don't want to be responsible for anything that happens in there. And, you know, let's wait till it comes out and we'll wrap then, you know, I don't even like holding kids until they're at the age where they can like talk. Cause it scares me, you know, I'm like, I want this. I like communication. I like a kid that can be like, you are hurting me. And I go, oh, okay, cool. Like, I didn't mean to pick you up that hard. But, you know, when they're like a certain age, they cry, and crying means like 17 different things.
Yeah, yes. And like, what baby, I don't think from the baby's perspective, like, who wants to be just kind of passed around to all these like strange adults with bad breath and,
right,
you know, like, that's, I don't know. I don't know how many people I'm going to let touch my baby from jump, you know, let him grow up a little bit before I start like passing it around, you know.
Yeah, some babies are into it. You know, I we've all met that baby, you know, that's like, oh, people, thank God. Yeah. But a lot of babies I don't think are comfortable with the, you know, just handing me off like a football thing, and people just do it anyway.
Yeah. Like, I try to kind of get close to a baby, you know, like, I'll, you know, looking into its baby's eyes and kind of feel its vibes and stuff before I even, like, reach out and touch it with the mother's permission. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I wouldn't just feel, oh, a baby, and just go ahead and scoop it up and pick it up like that, because I see it as another being, you know, however new and tiny it is, you know, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a date, you know. I want to get to know you before we try to go to first base, you know. I don't want to, like, you know, if you come up to me and you just walk up and, like, kiss me, I'm going to be like, hey, I don't know you, stranger.
Yeah.
Get your lips off of me. So, it's like people see a baby and it's like, I can kiss this baby because it can't stop me, you know?
Exactly.
Plus, we all have that one scary, like, aunt or some shit that we remember from kids. We're like, why'd y'all let that motherfucker hold me? So, you know, as a parent, it's your responsibility to keep the ugly aunt up off your baby, man. So, you got that's why they have nightmares and shit.
Exactly.
Well, Ms. Chartreuse, it has been a pleasure catching up with you. Of course, I wish you much success with your business, your marriage, the baby, all that stuff, man. I think a lot of people out here are just wondering, like, what has she been up to? Where in the world is Mrs. Chartreuse? So thank you so much for doing this.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful to expatiate my vocal cords once again for the podcast world. So if anybody wants to come to Trinidad, my house is open.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Well, if I ever come to Trinidad, I will look you up and hang out and I thought I saw a snake in one of these pictures with the jewelry. Is that like a snake, a real live snake, or?
Yeah, that was a boa constrictor, a pet that we had, but she got away from us. But I know we'll get another one soon.
Oh, we'll see. I might not stay with y'all, but, you know, I'll come visit. You know, we'll meet somewhere mutually outside away from the snake and hang out a little bit.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, well, you have a good one, Ms. Chartreuse, and thank you so much for doing the show. All you people out there in premium land, we'll be back with another Medium Talk soon, and thank you guys for subscribing and subsidizing my life. Talk to y'all later. Peace.